As I have shared before, many of the experiences that my mother lived through, as I noticed a couple of young bucks here ended up biting their tongue or their mouth bleeding somehow, and I just see the moms putting up with a lot of injury or that process, and I think back to my own mother and all the things that she endured. As I end up with a whole bunch of sermon illustrations now, and my mom had to live through all those situations, and I have been somewhat reflective this past week, and as you know, and maybe many of you know, maybe don't, but and when I was 10 years old, we had a house fire that dislodged us from our house. And I know there was a fire this morning in Newry, and I'm not sure if it dislodged the family from their home, but as a 10-year-old, that was a big deal to me, that to have your house burned down and it dislodged you from your house. But then we moved from there and on into by the spring or the fall of next year, and we'd always been 4-H, and we'd always raised some cattle and just as kind of a hobby type farmers, because I showed cattle since I was 8 years old. So we had this, and we lived in a farming community. But in September of 1976, I was 11 years old, and we moved to the farm, and it was the greatest day of my life. It was just the greatest day of my life, and I kind of forgot about the fire, because who would not want to be a farmer? When you're 11 years old, I'm telling you what, that's what you want to be. You just want to be, and just the endlessness of what's out there for a country farm boy to get into or to experience it. It was my mom was get into, for 11 years old, it's experiencing it. So it's the same thing, only it's one from an 11-year-old mind and one from a mother's mind. But I can remember that there was a journey to get the command or the assignment that I was given to go get the cows. I've been told that thousands of times in my life, go get the cows. And so I know what that meant, and the cows kind of, they figured that out after a while, that when you would show up in the field. But it was just an adventure to go. And you never really, you didn't pasture the good land. You didn't pasture the flat land. You pastured the tough land, because you couldn't get a tractor on it. When we were farming up in Tioga County, if you could get a tractor on it, it was not pasture. It is certainly, if you even had a flat field, you certainly weren't going to pasture that. So it was cross country at its best to go get the cows. But to go get the cows, you had to go through the apple orchard. You had to go through the creek. You had to go through the gully. You had to go up the edge of the woods. I'm telling you what, there was so much. I needed to leave a half hour, an hour early to go get the cows, because to experience the cows, okay, we get the cows, that's fine. That was the assignment. But to get there was this journey. It was just incredible for an 11-year-old. Until you would add an element to the pasture that was less than desirable. And if you added a bull to the pasture, all of a sudden it got really challenging to go get the cows. You still needed to get the cows, and the apples were still good for eating, and the creek was still there. But there was an element, when you put a bull in the field, there was an element that you needed to be a little more careful. And you need to progress a little more safely or a little more cautiously. And I'm telling you what, picking up a few fairly good-sized rocks out of the creek was not a bad idea. And I'm not into animal abuse, but I put the stones to a few bulls in my life. And if you had a pocket full of stones and you had a fairly good aim, listen, you didn't want any flat stones. We're not talking skipping rocks here. We're talking beating up bulls here. You didn't want any flat rocks, because they just didn't fly true. You needed round rocks, somewhere between a golf ball and a tennis ball. Really worked well. So here's bull in the pasture 101, okay? So if you've ever been in a pasture with a bull, this is what you need, these four things, okay? Be aware that there is a bull in the pasture. You got to be aware that there's a bull in the pasture, okay? Keep your eye out for large trees, because if you need it, it's healthy to get behind a large tree if there's a bull in the pasture. and pick up a few stones. And we're talking something you can make a necklace out of it. We're talking something you really could take down a fairly good-sized bull with. I mean, and you got to complete the assignment anyway. The cows still needed to be got. The cows still needed to be got. Apples were still good for eating, but don't forget to complete the assignment. Matthew says, Jesus says in Matthew 10:16, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. I'm putting you in a pasture that doesn't have only safe things in it. There is a bull in the pasture. That's what he's saying. I've got an assignment for you, and you got to know there's a bull in the pasture. You need to be shrewd, or you need to be alert, and you need to be aware. That's what that word means. You need to be aware. You need to be knowing that there's a bull in the pasture. You need to be aware of what kind of stones you need. You need to be aware of how to throw a stone. You need to be aware of how far you can throw a stone. You need to be aware of where the big trees are. You need to be aware because you needed to get the cows, regardless of the bull. So you need to be aware, and you need to be unmixed. You need to be focused on what you're there for. He said, don't forget, there's going to be scary moments in this world. He said, there's going to be wolves among the pasture. There's going to be bulls among the pasture. And you're going to be, I feel like you're a sheep at times. But there's this combination of this superhero that's like sheep and snake and dove all wrapped into one. And that's what you need to be, because don't come out of the pasture, because the assignment is still in the pasture. You still got to get the cows. So don't let the bull scare you out of the pasture. Be shrewd, be alert, be aware. Be innocent. And how does this play out? How does it play out to accomplish this in our lives? And Psalm 140 is the text for today. Psalm 140, and if I was going to give Psalm 140 a title, it would be this: there is a bull in the pasture. That ain't no bull. And I find it interesting that as Arlene and I prayed through this text, because she's the prayer warrior for this week, and as her and I prayed through this text, and as she comes to some conclusions and I come to some conclusions, we come to the same conclusions. There is a bull in the pasture, and there's assignment that we need to do, regardless of the bull. And we may need to look for some big trees, and we may need to look for some decent stones, because we're not leaving the pasture, because the assignment is in the pasture. Psalm 140, verses 1 through 3 says this: Rescue me, O Lord. Just so you know, every capitalization of O Lord is, I'm looking at this as the tree in the pasture. Okay, you watch this down through these 13 verses. The Lord is already in the pasture. When you were looking for a tree in the pasture, guess what? You weren't looking for a tree in the woods. It was in the pasture, and guess what? They were already there. You weren't looking to plant one. You weren't carrying one around. The Lord is already in the pasture. The Lord is already in the environment. The Lord is already there. And David knows that as he's writing this. And this is early in David's life, when he's trying to live out the call of God on his life. And there's so much going on around him. And there's so many people after him. And Saul's after him. He said, God, what am I doing? I'm not leaving this land, because you called me to this land. You called me to this pasture. And I will not flee from this pasture. But I'm wrestling right now. Oh, Lord, rescue me. You know what rescue means there? Pull this off of me, God. Get this bull off of me. Rescue me from this. Rescue me. Oh, Lord, from evil men. Protect me. Protect me, Lord. To guard me or to keep me. Protect me, Lord. He said, rescue me, pull this off of me, and oh Lord, and from evil men, protect me, or keep me, or guard me from men of violence who devise evil plans in their hearts and stir up war every day. They just won't shut up. The environment's not getting any better. That bull just won't leave me alone. David has recognized there's a bull in the pasture. And he's identified that as the evil men and the men of violence who are devising evil plans in their heart and stirring up war every day. They make their tongues as sharp as a serpent. The poison of vipers is on their lips. There's evil men and this men of violence, and they're stirring up war, and the poison of vipers is on their lips. And David says, they're a mighty force out there. The enemy is mighty. The enemy is strong. The enemy is tough. And the enemy is bent on destruction. And the enemy will spare no pain to accomplish his ruin. And David knows that. But he also knows, I got an assignment here. And God, you're going to need to rescue me, and you're going to need to protect me. Because the assignment's in this field. The assignment is in this pasture. And I know the pasture is full of bulls, and they got less than a good attitude. Lord, you're going to need to protect me. You're going to need to move me forward. Look what he says in verse 4. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Protect me from men of violence who plan to trip whose feet? Whose feet? Whose feet? Do you realize that? And you're going to hear me saying this over and over. You need to take this personal. Because there's a lot of me and my in this. God, I'm going to go get the cows. God, I'm going to live. But I know there's an environment around me that is not healthy. There's an environment around me that is trying to stop me. There's an environment around me that I need to be protected from, that I need to be kept from. God, there's an environment around me and it's trying to trip up my feet. But by God, I'm going to live out my faith. I am not moving from this land. You placed me here, God. This is my pasture. And they're trying to trip my feet. They have a plan to trip my feet. The enemy has a plan to trip you. It is personal. It's personal to me. It should be personal to you. It's personal. The enemy is using whatever he can to frustrate and hinder and stop you. You, moms and dads. You, parents, of raising healthy, God-fearing children. You need to take it personal. Because it's your pasture. It's your assignment. And the enemy's using whatever he can to get you off your game. Temptations. He'll use temptations, and he'll use world governments, and he'll use society, and he'll use ungodly pressure that you better bow down or you're going to the furnace. The violence is described, push the button, the violence of unrighteous oppression. He'll use unrighteous oppression. He's going to use ungodly ideology. He's going to use laws and philosophies and principles. He's going to use worldly deception and corruption and just plain old sleaze. I didn't even know there was a word in the Hebrew that could be translated sleaze. But the enemy is after you. And the enemy is after your assignment. And the enemy is after and going to stop you, and he'll use whatever he can. He'll use the forces of this world. He'll use the governmental systems. He'll use the garbage of this world. He'll use the temptations of this world. He'll use the laws of this land. He'll use those things to get you and to push you down, to get you to shut up. Take it personal. I've entitled this message, "Please don't get in my way, because it's not going to finish well for you. Because I have been given an assignment in this land. I have been given an assignment to pastor I have been given an assignment to be a dad. I've been given an assignment to lead those along the waters of Christ that He can fill them up. I've been given an assignment to be a grandfather. I have been given an assignment to meet the hurt and the downtrodden. I have been given that assignment, and you won't stop me. Please, I beg you, don't get in my way, because it's not going to finish well for you. Our world is led by the ungodly. And sleaze is running rampant over our land. And enough is enough. Look what he says in 5. Proud men have hidden a snare for who? You need to take it personal. Arlene says this week on the phone, as we were praying on Saturday, we were praying about this, and she said, I am so amazed that I thought I was reading about today when I was reading about David 3,000 years ago. And then she said, I'm no pastor, and I said, well, you're nailing it pretty good. Proud men have hidden a snare for me. They have spread out the cords of their net and have set traps for me along whose path? My path. Please don't get in my way, because it's not going to finish well for you. Because it's my path. It's mine that God has given me. It's my assignment. The bull is out to get you. That's what that verse says. Is there a bull under every rock? Yes. It's easy enough to handle one bull. But when you have two or three in a field, then it gets challenging. And he's out to get you. And he's out to stop you. And he'll use whatever he can. And he'll use the sleaze of this world to come over you and to oppress you and to depress you and to get you mad and off your game. He doesn't care if you're depressed or if you're mad. He really doesn't care, because either way, you're out. I had a professor tell me one time, he said, I have a feeling you're going to burn out way before you rust out. And he said, but just remember, either way, you're out. It doesn't matter how he gets you off your game. No matter what the sleaze smells like that's being poured over you, or what the laws of this land are trying to do to you and your way that God has set forth for you, and what has been proclaimed from the highest ranks of our world. Please take this. Please, please, please take this as a personal threat to your assignment. Look what he says. Look how many trees are in 6 and 7. There's a batch of trees there. Oh, Lord, I say to you, you're my God, he says. Hear, oh, Lord, my cry for mercy. Oh, sovereign God, be my strong deliverer who shields my head in what? In the day of what? In battle. No, I am not going to sit down. There's a difference between 5 and 6 and 7. All of a sudden, David said, wait a minute. I've got an assignment. Wait a minute. This is my land. Wait a minute. Oh, Lord, I cry out to you. In Jesus' name, here we go. In Jesus' name, you're going to strengthen my head for battle, because I'm coming out of the dugout. I'm coming off the bench, and I'm going to do something. I will not lay down anymore. I'm coming off the bench. I have no intention of leaving this pasture until my task is complete. I will not relinquish this pasture to the bulls. I have been placed in this pasture and given an assignment. I am the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And I will not hide in the corner and let the bulls run this show. Because God's given me assignment. It's time for some stones. to come out of our pockets. Good stones. Stones that are going to make a difference. We're not talking little pea shooter stones. We're talking stones that are going to make a difference. We're going to start with some today. David says in Psalm and 1 Samuel 17:45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me? You got to be kidding me. You come against me with sword and a spear. You come against me with laws. You come against me with sleaze. You come against me with ungodliness. You come against me with wickedness. You think that's going to take me out of the game? But I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of the church, and whom you have defiled. Enough! You're not going to defile my God anymore. And I will stand up because this is my pasture. I take it personal. God has chosen me and you for this portion of history. And there is no white flag in my repertoire. And as David has said, is that all you got? And I come at you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the church. And all of a sudden, he's going to start throwing some stones here in Psalm. You want to know the first stone he's going to throw? Here it is. Do not grant the wicked their desires, O Lord, and do not let their plans succeed, or they will become proud. You know what he's saying there? Push the button. Here's the prayer, the proclamation stone. Wreck the plans of the ungodly. You ain't going to get me mad anymore. But I'm throwing a stone at you, and I'm going to begin to drive by certain spots, and I'm going to get out at those certain spots. You want to know what they are? Here they are. Push the button. Here they are. I'm getting out at this spot, 1100 East Main Street, Roaring Spring. I'm getting out that spot. And I'm saying no more. Wreck the plans of the ungodly, God. Wreck the plans of the ungodly. You know where that is? I'm going to say it right out. That's where the school board meets. And we need to stand up and say, wreck the plans of the ungodly. You know what the other one is? 616 Spang Street, that's where the borough decisions are made. You know what? 131 Municipal Street, that's where the township decisions are made. You know what the other ones are? There are senators' offices and there are representatives' offices. It's high time that we start saying, no! And I'm not saying break windows and burn down buildings. I'm saying I come at you in the name of the Lord our God. And no more will I say this is okay. God, wreck the plans of the ungodly. Wreck them, God. Wreck them, God. Put them in the ditch. I proclaim that in the name of Jesus. I'm done living with the sleaze. And I am the church. And I will not hide in the corner. And I will not hide. We got too many children. What are we going to do with the 65 or 70 children that are represented here? Come hell or high water, I'm handing them a godly nation. Come on now. And I'll throw the stone just like David is. The well-placed stones. And I'll stop by all these places in the name of Jesus. Wreck their plans, God. Wreck them. And don't think you don't have the authority or the responsibility to do that. And all the way to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I am up to here with the crap in this world. And I got to know what to do. And God says, Psalm 140. You can ask and you have the authority to say, wreck their plans. Look at verse 9 says, let the heads of those who surround me be covered with the trouble their lips have caused. You know what that means? Here's the prayer and the proclamation stone, those same addresses. Cause their ungodly and harmful actions to be brought to light. Reveal it, God. Reveal it. Bring it out of the back rooms. Bring it out of the boardrooms. Bring it out of the garbage room. Bring it out of the executive session. Bring it out, God. You're in there. We don't know what's going on, but God, you reveal it. You reveal it. Bring it to light, God. Because people are being lied to and people are being bought into that sleaze that's coming over our world. I take it personal. their actions of darkness to be brought to the light. Reveal their wickedness for all to see, God. Let their corruption be made known. And I know the verse that says, oh, we got to support our God puts governments in systems, and I know that. And I am not disrespecting anything. I'm just saying, God, you've given me Psalm 140 for a reason. And I don't want just tulips, I want stones. Verse 10 says this, let burning coals fall upon them. May they be thrown into the fire, into the miry pits, never to rise again. I'm telling you what, David is taking it very personal. And David is up to here with what's going on in his nation. And he says this, push the button, he says this, the third stone, remove those who are perpetuating darkness from influence. Just remove them, God. Just remove those that are perpetuating darkness. Just remove them, God. And maybe we'll rise, maybe men and women of faith will rise up, and God will rise up and replace those that are perpetuating darkness. And they'll rise up and they'll replace those. Enough is enough. I am not getting angry anymore. I'm going to throw some stones. Well-placed stones. All the way from 1100 Main Street, Roaring Spring, to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And even at 713 Walnut Street, if God needs to cleanse this home, let Him do it. But I will not move from this pasture. God, remove those who are perpetuating darkness from influence. Look what He says in verse 11. Let slander not be established in the land. Wow. May disaster hunt down men of violence. Here's another stone. Turn their ungodly actions on them. When they release the hounds, let the hounds bite them. When they spit on us, cause the wind to put the spit back in their face. When they throw mud, may it fall on them. When they get ready to throw a bomb of immoral and unrighteous action in this world, when they get ready to throw a bomb, let it blow up in their hand, God. Back in the day, we had firecrackers, and they weren't terribly big, but they were kind of interesting, and we had a bunch of those. And we found it kind of interesting to throw a firecracker near your buddy, and it would scare him, but that got old in a hurry. You always got to amp it up a little bit. So you'd make some mud and you'd put a firecracker inside of a mud ball about that big around. Just the fuse sticking out. And then a well-placed, light the fuse, and you got to wait. You got to be patient because it needed to explode midair right near your buddy. And one time, I didn't let go of it quick enough. And the mud that was in my hand was all over my face and all over my head and all over my hat. That's what I'm asking for right here, God. They got a bomb of mud. Let it blow up in their face. Let it blow up on them. God, I'm done. I take this very personal. Look what he says in verse 12. I know that the Lord secures justice for the poor and upholds the cause of the needy. I got this as a prayer this morning from Craig. That verse. You know what that means? The Lord, just let me say it in a nutshell because we're getting toward the end of the message. The Lord equips the called. Amen. Hiding from the bulls is not the plan of God. He said, I'll equip you. Are you ready? I'll equip you. And then he says this in 13. Surely the righteous will praise your name, and the upright will live before you. And to make a long message a little shorter, it just simply means I need to embrace the assignment. Push the button. Remember what the assignment is. The assignment is not stoning the bulls in the pasture. It's not the assignment. It's getting the cows. don't lose our focus and only think it's stoning the bulls. We stone the bulls so we can live the assignment. You want to know what the assignment is? Push the button. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. And He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus said that. And then a little later on, He said this, push the button. I tell you the truth, Jesus, anyone who has faith in me will be doing what I've been doing. That's the assignment. Push the button. That's the assignment. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We need to stone some bulls. We need to get rid of some sleaze. But that, let that become my career. My career, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, is to preach the Word of God, is to live the Word of God, is to meet those people in hard spots. And let them to Jesus and help them rise up out of the garbage. Our country is not going to do that. Our country is all pushing people down and oppressing people. If you're not this or that or something else, it's pushing you down. And when you are that, it's still pushing you down. It's the church that needs to rise up. Enough sleaze. I take this very personal because I have been given the assignment. I've been given the assignment to preach, to proclaim, and to lead, and to meet people that are oppressed. And just so you know, you may see me in jail, but I will not succumb to the sleaze of this world. This world will not tell me what to do. I got some stones ready and I'm not afraid to throw them in right spots. I'm not going to wait 1100 East Main Street, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Spang Street, offices of congressmen and congresswomen. Oh, you can send emails and I'm for that. But don't be afraid to drive by and say, in the name of Jesus, thwart every plan that's not pleasing to you, God. God, whatever they're figuring in the back room, let it come to the light. God, whatever they're doing in the situation room, that's a bad situation, rise up, God. Expose it. Turn the lights on. Because I plan on living my assignment. Because there are still blind. And they're still oppressed. And they're still lost. And I have a feeling that when I get in front of Jesus, He's not going to say, you get a pass because there was too much sleaze. He said, why don't you use the stones that I gave you? You have the authority, new life. You have the authority and the responsibility to live your assignment. I never failed to get the cows. And I had no plan of failing in my assignment today. Father, thank you for these moments together. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the stones that you give us. And Lord, I got to be honest. When I first started to sort this out, I said, stones, God? He said, what do you think David got his? And Lord, I'm not advocating violence in any way, but I'm advocating authority. And I'm advocating responsibility. And I'm advocating getting our assignment done on this earth. Jesus, you said that was your assignment. And then you said, I'm going to give that assignment to you. If you have faith in me, you're going to be doing exactly what I've been doing. As a matter of fact, you're going to be doing even more than what I was doing. In the name of Jesus, I speak against the sleaze of this country. And God, I just would want to say to raise up if you're raising up people to take the places of ungodly people in very influential spaces, raise them up, God. Raise them up in this world. Raise them up in this congregation. Raise them up, God. But you're raising all of us up to live our assignment. And that's reaching the lost, helping the oppressed, giving sight to the blind, and proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, which is 2021, as well as it was 33 AD. Father, I thank you so much in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd ask you just